Welcome to the Slapshot Scotland podcast. I'm Craig Anderson and it's time to bring you another interview with one of the top personalities in British ice hockey. In this edition, I'll be talking to arguably one of the most controversial figures the Elite League has seen in recent years. Joe Grimaldi has had two stints in the UK, both of which have ended in acrimony and have been short-lived. He first came to these shores to play for Nottingham Panthers during the 2013-14 season, arriving from Rosenborg in Norway, a club where he's had another short stay, and he lasted only 7 games at the Panthers, and in that short amount of matches he accumulated an incredible 110 penalty minutes. Grimaldi was soon shipped off, where he ended that campaign with Valpolici in Italy. He returned to Britain last season to play for Edinburgh Capitals, playing 17 times under Richard Hartman, but was on his way just after the new year, following an incident involving Panthers' Max Perron that saw Grimaldi cop an 18-game ban. Is Grimaldi the bad guy with a bad attitude, an image that's been painted since his sacking by the Caps? We'll find out on this edition of Slapshot Scotland. Joe Grimaldi, thanks for coming on the podcast. Well, let's get straight to it then. It's been 5, almost 6 months on since the incident in Nottingham with Max Perron. How do you look back at what happened on that night?
Yeah, you know, I want to say thank you for interviewing me, of course. I look back on the that night, and you know, there's a lot of things that come into my mind that night. You know, it was a rough night that night for sure. But I feel like because of the injury that I had beforehand, about a year before I had broke my neck, which not too many people know about that. And then I had a concussion. You know, I had gotten into a fight with one of the Greyhead players, and you know, he gave me a good punch, and I got a really bad concussion, and I was out for 2 months prior to the Nottingham game. And I mean, I had one of those concussions when I couldn't be around anybody. Couldn't have loud music, anything, noises would bother me, TVs, any type of screens, computer screens would bother me. I was having headaches like you couldn't believe. I couldn't even do my schoolwork. Coming back, you know, quite recently, I mean, that was only like my second or third game back for the Edinburgh Capitals. And I wasn't really looking to get into a fight. I didn't want to fight. I wanted to just go in there and play a solid game, and you know, I knew that the odds wise that Nottingham, you know, they had a little better caliber players than we did, and they have had more success than us in the past, and I just wanted to go in there and have a good night. And I was excited to see my old teammates because I get along with some of them really well, and was excited to see some of the fans, and it went down a path that I didn't really want it to go. But you know, what's done is done. I mean, I can't change the past, but you know, as you're getting older in your career, you know, you think about, players taking cheap shots at you and people trying to hurt you. And you think that you're one injury away from maybe getting seriously hurt or one injury away from never playing again. You know, there's lots of thoughts that are going through your brain as you get older up in the ranks. And you know, I had job offers probably around Christmas time to go home, so I kind of knew that I had something to fall back on. And you know, you start to get scared, you know, as you get older. You start to think, well, you know, what's next? You know, what am I going to do next? You know, what happens if I get injured? You know, you have all these crazy thoughts. I mean, I think Sean Avery that played for the New York Rangers, he just wrote an article in the Players Tribune about, you know, preparing for life after hockey. And, yeah, you know, it was really big concern that was weighing on me. And, you know, I felt like that I was playing with fire every night. I felt every night that I was coming on the ice, you know, I was dodging a bullet. You know, I was just a step away from something bad happening. And, you know, I think I was, you know, after the concussion and the neck, you know, I got hit from behind with my neck injury. A player hit me from behind. I went headfirst into the boards. After these two incidents happened, I just didn't want anybody taking liberties at me. And I really didn't think that the hit on what started the incident. I don't know if you saw, it was a body check at the blue line. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm, yeah, well, that's what.
And, I didn't think I hit him super high. I know I didn't hit him in the head. But I think that they overreacted, a little bit. I mean, the name of the game is physicality and hitting. And I made my career out of, stepping up and hitting guys, earlier in my career. I hit him face to face. There was no dirty intent, no dirty play. And then, obviously the other player came after me. And, I mean, I didn't really want to fight because getting over a concussion, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but if you get a second concussion back-to-back or, right near each other, you could be out for a whole year, you could be out for a year and a half, you may never play again. So I was trying to minimize getting my head hit, the whole thing. And obviously, if I have no problem if somebody wants to fight, that's fine, but it's just the timing of it was just wrong. And I had said I didn't want to fight, and then, the refs really weren't getting in the way. They weren't really doing much, which I was really disappointed about that. I mean, they weren't really, I think they could have diffused the situation a lot quicker. I mean, the body check happened on the offensive blue line, and at the end of the whole fight and everything, we ended up in the far corner by the Zamboni. I mean, I definitely think it could have been taken care of a lot better. And then I lost it. I snapped. My survival instincts cut in, my tenacity, everything that I have that makes me the type of player I am came in, and then I lost it at that point. And, the best way to describe everything, because I don't think the fans see this, but once I had said, I had pointed my stick at him and I said, okay, hey, let's fight, let's go, let's do this, I told him to let's take our helmets off so we don't break our hands. So when I took my helmet off, I unstrapped my helmet and I took my helmet off and I had my helmet in my hand, the other player, Parent, charged at me. And if you watch the video, he comes straight at me as I'm taking my helmet off. He has no regard to fight fair and take his helmet off. So the rules of hockey are, if player A takes his helmet off, player B, out of good faith, should take his helmet off too, so that you don't break each other's hands. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So, when I was taking my helmet off, he came at me, and I just reacted, and I just threw it at him. It was just a reaction. And it stunned him. I mean, it actually never hit him in the face. If you watch the video, it hit his hand because he put his hands up. But, that's what happened. But there's a lot. The fans just see what happens on the ice. They don't see, what's going on behind the scenes or, the backstory of it all. A guy coming off a concussion, that really, like I said, I had no interest in fighting anybody for probably a couple of months. So my head was really feeling 100% better. So, and I do feel bad that, it happened in Nottingham Rink with the fans there. Because those fans, they treated me really well and they were very good to me, when I played there. And, they had one of the best fans in hockey. And, they make that place what it is, and it's exciting to play in front of those people. And, they had given me memories that, I will have with me, forever. So I am thankful that, they did treat me good for some point. So.
Now, of course, on the back of that incident, Edinburgh took the decision to let you go after it. You were effectively sacked. How was that news delivered to you? Was it delivered to you that night, or did they tell you the next day? Was it Scott Neil that said to you, or was it Richard Hartman?
Well, Richard, he said something after the game, but honestly, I was at the point, and I think a lot of us were at the point with Richard that, Richard's a nice guy and everything, but I don't think he was the right fit for our team. I don't think his style was working anymore. He felt that you know, a year or two ago that his European style was working, and it did work at that point, but it wasn't working this year. And sometimes you have to adapt to the way the league is changing and the league is. And, you know, if you're playing against North American hockey, which most of the teams that we play against, I mean, 95-98% of the teams we play against in the British Elite League, they play North American hockey. It's an up-and-down, aggressive style, not so much finesse, but lots of hitting. And he's got us trying to play a finesse, you know, Eastern European-type game, and it just doesn't work. It just wasn't working. So that was, at that point, I think a lot of us didn't, I think Richard had lost the respect of the players for himself at that point. So when he would come in the locker room and yell and scream, people just kind of tuned him out. Whether that's right or wrong, that's the situation that it was at. And that night, he yelled and screamed when we got in the locker room, and then that was it. And then Scott, I had talked to Scott Neal actually the next day. And, you know, I've been around long enough to know that, you know, it's, I was mentally checked out already. I mean, I was waiting for an opportunity outside of hockey to pull me out. I mean, I like I said earlier, I have a lot of other interests in hockey. And even though hockey has been my life for 20-something years, that's not who I am. I am a hockey player at heart, but it's not, I have more skills than just hockey. I don't let it define me. Hockey was a great opportunity to get a business. You know, I got life lessons. I got business lessons. I got to see the world. I got to meet great people, make good friends. I really became a polished individual. But I think I got to the point in my life when I was just ready for the next step. And I think Scott kind of knew this, and me and Scott had been talking about this all along throughout the whole season. We remained really close and had probably 24 conversations about what was next for me. And I think every player reaches that point in their career. I might have reached it earlier than some. And it's not that I didn't have any passion for the game. I mean, I have tons of passion for it, but there's a point when, you know, you grow up and you're not making the money that you need to make to survive, and you can't just play a child's game anymore. You got to think about real life. You know, I mean, if I was to play till I was 35, 36, 37, you know, what am I going to do after that? What's my plan? Who's going to hire me into the workforce at that age? So there's a lot of things going on, and I think it was fair. And me and Scott talked about it, like how we wanted to handle the situation. And it wasn't like a blunt firing, like he was yelling at me and, you know, you're fired, Joe. No, it wasn't anything like that. I mean, we honestly had a chuckle about it. We had a little laugh about it, to be honest. You know, when he first watched it, I mean, you know, it's you learn in hockey not to take things super, super seriously. And, you know, if you let the media get to you and get it upset with you, you know, you can be really upset about it and it can affect you. But, you know, it happened. I mean, there was no changing at that point. And me and Scott, you know, we figured, I was like, Scott, listen, you know, I really didn't think it's fair, you know, for him to keep me on for the rest of the season, you know what I mean, or for the 18 games and have to pay me, you know, when I'm not really contributing to the team. You know, I guess maybe if I didn't have another job, if I didn't have two other job opportunities waiting for me, maybe I would have felt differently. But, you know, I had things lined up. I mean, I actually had chances to go to two or three other teams in Europe, and then I had some teams in the States that wanted me. I chose not to go play. I had a team in Germany. I had a team in Poland. And I had a team in Norway that was gonna sign me. And I decided that this wasn't the route that I was going for. And, you know, we handled it. I think Scott handled it, you know, really well. I mean, he gave me, a month and a half, you know, a month's pay so that I could, you know, until I got things squared away. I mean, Scott's a great guy. Scott Neal, I got nothing bad to say about Scott Neal. I think he does a great, runs a great operation for what he has. And his front office staff, they do the best they can with what they have. I mean, they don't have, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars to play with, and they do the best that they could. And they treated me very well while I was there. And that's one of the only reasons why I did stick around is because of Scott Neal. I mean, I wasn't happy from the minute I got there, you know, and it has nothing to do so much with the fans or the people or the team. It just had something personal to do with me. And sometimes that's just the way it is. And it's kind of hard to describe, and I don't expect the fans to get it. I think some of the players will get it. And, you know, it's great, you know, when you're 20 years old, 22, 23, 24, and you're playing for, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800 pounds a week. I mean, it's great. I mean, you feel like you're a god. But when you get older and you acquire, when you have a house and you have cars and you have bills and you have real adult life stuff, you know, you have to pay for health care in the States. You have, you know, you got to go to school. You're finishing your degree. It's not, it becomes really tough, really hard to, you know, to do this job, especially if, you know, we're not making as much as NHL players, and I think everybody gets that. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure from my family as well, you know, to move on. You had a good run, Joe. I mean, you've had a lot of injuries. You know, it's time to, you have all your teeth, you can walk. You know, maybe it's time to just move on. So that's kind of the whole situation with Scott.
Now, after that, the league hit you with that 18-game ban, which you've already alluded to in your previous answer there. It was an accumulative amount of offences, what happened with Max Perron. Did you feel that was fair?
Yes and no. I mean, I feel that a suspension was definitely needed. I mean, I've coached junior hockey for one year when I was injured, and looking at the situation from the outside, looking in, something definitely needed to be done. I don't know the number. I mean, I don't know if the number was right or if the number was wrong, as far as the 18 games. I really don't have a comment on it. But I think by them giving me a long suspension, you know, they probably knew that I was going to get fired, or they knew that I was going to get sacked, or however you guys say it. I mean, I think they could have easily made it 10, 11, 12 games. I mean, I don't think it needed to be that much, but it is what it is. And, you know, sometimes when you have to be accountable for your actions, okay? You have to take what you did, and you got to be a man about it. And, you know, the punishment has to fit the crime. And, you know, I did something, and I had to pay the consequences. I had to deal with the Reaper. So I can't really say yes and no. That's my answer.
Okay. Now, you received a lot of criticism on Twitter, not only for the incident itself, but for your supposed lack of contrition after it. Do you have any regrets about the aftermath as well as the incident as well?
Well, you know, I think afterwards, after the incident, I had to take care of me. I had to do what's best for my family, for me. And I guess you could say it was selfish, but I think I have every right to be selfish when it comes to my life. I had to figure out, you know, what I had to do next, what I needed to move on with my life. I had to look at my job opportunities that I had with hockey and without hockey, and I just had to see what direction I needed to go. And I think I had talked to Scott about this, and Scott was kind of guiding me. And, you know, with me living a normal adult life and the bills that I have, me and Scott came to the decision that it was probably best that I took one of the job opportunities that I had that was away from the game. And Scott was really good about discussing options with me and trying to help me figure it out. You know, and I know I took a lot of criticism from Twitter, and I just wanted to take a breather, a step back, before I made any comments. You know, I know that you're supposed to do damage control right away, and I probably didn't do it the right way, but I rather really think about what I wanted to say, really think about how I wanted to handle it before making a rash decision and maybe saying the wrong thing or doing the wrong thing. So I didn't want to make the situation worse. That's for sure. And that's kind of why I started my blog, is because I had something to say, and I wanted to give them the whole story on kind of the last couple of years, what's happened, and, you know, what I've been through, and, you know, the really exciting part of my blog is starting to come up, when I can really tell people how I felt on the inside. I mean, what the fans don't get is all they see is the end product on the ice. They just see us slapping a puck around, skating, hitting, scoring, smiling. They don't really know how we feel. They don't know what goes on. They don't know how coaches are treating us. Or how organizations are treating us. They don't see any of this. So when you go to judge a player on the ice on his performance, you have no idea what's going on. It's not just he has a great life. He woke up in the morning and he decided to play bad today. That's not how it works. That's definitely a falsity that the fans have. You know, and the people, you know, I believe if you don't have anything nice to say, you shouldn't say it at all. You know, and I think the fans were a little harsh. They were a little harsh. Especially since, you know, I have good intentions. I mean, I'm the first one to do charity work with kids. I'm the first one to, I'm the first one to go out of my way to try and help somebody, or I'll talk to any fan, I'll talk to anybody. I mean, I try and do the right thing. I mean, you know, you could do 1,000 right things, but if you do one wrong thing, all they look at is the wrong thing, right? That's there's actually a saying for it, but it's, I don't want to say the whole thing, but it was a tough time for me. That's for sure. I mean, so I handled it the best way I thought I could at the time.
And that's Joe Grimaldi reflecting on his somewhat stormy time in the UK, talking specifically about the incident with Max Perron that got him an 18-game ban. That's only part one of the podcast. There's going to be a second part which you can download right after this one, as Joe reflects on his time in the UK with both Edinburgh and Nottingham Panthers, and we'll find out what he's been up to as well, and to see if he plots a return to the UK game. My name's Craig Anderson. Thanks for listening to part one of the Slapshot Scotland podcast. I'll be back soon. Bye for now.